And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. I hope that you all had a wonderful weekend. I really do. I hope that you got a chance to go to church. Hope your church is open for business so that you could go in and worship with the saints of God and have a great time. And I hope you had some nice weather where you are. We had kind of ugly weather on Sunday, but a fairly nice day on Saturday. In fact, you know, I don't know where to start sometimes with what all the stuff that I'd love to talk to you about, and we just run out of time between the topics and your calls. But let me just tell you, I went out, it was mid-50s and sunny, and I've got a golf cart, the woods that have bought our property, and I like to go out into the woods. I like to go out there and explore. I like to go, there's a lake out there. I like to go out and sit. I like to go out and shoot and all of that. Well, I went out and went to start my golf cart up, and guess what? It sat there for about 3 months, and the battery was D-E-A-D, the batteries. As you all know, these things run on multiple batteries, D-E-A-D, dead. So instead of me spending time out in the woods enjoying myself, I had to get my truck hooked up and had to get the cart hooked up and pull the cart to the garage and get the cart charged up. And I couldn't get it close enough to charge it. I guess I should have been smart and gotten an extension cord and just charged it wherever I left it with the car. But oh, no. My lightning fast mind thinking, well, I'll just push the thing over. And oh my goodness gracious, I found out how heavy those things are. You know, but listen, I gave it the good old Marine Corps try. All you Marines out there, semper fi, hoorah. I gave it the good old Marine Corps try, pushed it about 10 feet, and then decided, you know what, I think I can stretch the cord all the way to where it is now. I think they're going to quit while I'm ahead here. But so it was that's the kind of thing, folks, that I end up doing that I really kind of enjoy, even though, you know, at first it's getting a little irritating. This thing is dead. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? But it's so different from the stuff that I normally do during the week that it's kind of relaxing. Not that pushing that golf cart 10 feet or so was that relaxing, but it reminded me that there's still some muscles there. The old Marine is still there. But I hope you had something interesting happen during your weekend. Oh, my goodness. I also met a tremendous candidate. Had some time to spend some time with somebody you all are going to be hearing more about, a woman named Winsome Sears, who's running for lieutenant governor here in Virginia. I've known her for a long, long time and haven't known her well. But, I mean, we've known each other for a number of years. And she as a Republican, won a predominantly Democrat, predominantly black district seat. Oh, that was back in the early 2000s, and it shocked the world. It shocked the world. And it demonstrated to us all, okay, you can win these people. You can get these people to vote for your candidates. You've just got to go to them with a message that resonates. And she's an excellent communicator, has a tremendous message. And she won that seat, and then felt like the Lord was leading her in other directions after that, and now she's back. So I had a chance to spend some time with her, too. So I don't know what you did this weekend, but I hope that whatever it was interesting, it was restful, it was encouraging. I hope maybe you turned off the news a little bit and stopped watching. Oh, well, now, in fact, we're going to get into one of the things I know a lot of people did this weekend. A lot of people watched Super Bowl, of course, this weekend. I did not. I used to be a big Tom Brady fan, used to be a big Patriots fan. I'm now no longer a fan of professional sports because I simply will not abide having people disrespect our flag, particularly the people who benefit the most from living in a free nation where they get to become millionaires playing a game. Now, you know, I still like football. I enjoyed watching it. I don't watch it anymore, but I enjoyed watching it. And maybe I'll pick up college football or something. I don't know. But of course, they're doing the same thing in many cases. But you think of it, if there were aliens, and there aren't, but if there were, and they landed in our country, and they landed and came and hovered right over a football stadium, and they watched people playing football, they would probably be saying to themselves, boy, these earthlings are strange, aren't they? What do you think? There must be something very valuable in that little oval piece of something that they all seem to be fighting over. And why are all the people standing up cheering over who seems to get this thing and where they carry it? This is really strange. Yeah, these are some strange beings. I mean, because, look, let's face it, it's entertaining and it's athletic and it's fascinating to watch. But it ain't rocket science, folks. It's not curing cancer. It's just entertaining us. Well, and I love, like anybody else, I enjoy being entertained. You know, you want to relax. You want to just chill out, as they say. But when I've got to be insulted first, and I've got to be told how horrible my country is, and I've got to have the national anthem disrespected and the flag denigrated and all of that, and that's not entertainment. No, thank you. I'll skip. So I didn't get to see any of that because I've explained all that to you before. But if you did, God bless you. You enjoy, because I'm not trying to tell everybody else to think the way I think. I'm just expressing to you the way I think about it. And it's not something I've made up or some movement I'm trying to generate. It's just how it strikes me. And as I've said before, I don't turn on the television, sit down, throw my feet up to relax a little bit to be insulted. I want to watch something that I'm interested in, that entertains me, that makes me smile, that makes me laugh, that gets me interested, gets me maybe thinking a little bit about things. But not something that basically says, you know, you're the whole country is a white racist, socially unjust, white supremacist, and whatever else they can come up with. And we're all going to wear our little Black Lives Matter signs, and we're not going to stand up for the flag because we hate this country. But when we go to Britain and they play, what is it? They play All Hail the Queen or something. I think that's what it is, isn't it? Hail, whatever it is. Whatever they play. We're going to stand up for that. Yeah, because you've had teams go to England. They stand up to play. Oh, God Save the Queen. That's what it is. God Save the Queen. They stand up when that plays. But then the national anthem plays in a foreign country, and they will not stand. Well, I'll tell you, that's just about all I can take. That it really is, because to me, that is a betrayal of your entire country. And frankly, the flag simply represents the American people. And to me, what you're really saying when you denigrate the flag is you're saying you denigrate all the veterans, all the military people, all the people who have fought and bled and sacrificed and died, all the people who revere the flag of the United States of America because it symbolizes our country. You are saying all of them are no good. I have no respect for any of them. And that's pretty much where the politics of the left has gotten to. I mean, they've written off essentially 75 million people who voted for President Trump, all of whom would probably deem themselves patriots, people who love this country and want the very best for it. They've written them all off as terrorists. And they think that's what the flag really represents. So why in the world would you stand up for that? And I'm supposed to celebrate your little game? I got better things to do. Well, look, I've got a bunch of stuff to talk to you about, so stand by, because we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Recent surveys show that millions of Americans doubt that the 2020 elections were run fairly. That is why a number of state legislators are filing bills and considering what changes need to be made before the next election cycle. In fact, Senator Rand Paul announced on one TV program that he will be spending the next 2 years going around from state to state and fixing these problems. He and other members of Congress might also spend a significant amount of their time in Washington trying to fix a bill that will likely pass the House and could even pass the Senate. The Democracy Restoration Act of 2021 is H.R. 1, meaning it is the first bill in Congress. It is similar to the For the People Act I discussed last year and was passed by the House of Representatives. Instead of trying to address some of the concerns millions of voters have with the way the 2020 elections were run, the bill attempts to go even further in the wrong direction. The bill essentially requires states to do away with nearly all election rules that exist to prevent election fraud. All states must have mail-in voting. All states must have automatic registration to vote. All states must have a period of early voting. All states must allow anyone to register the same day as an election. The state may not require an individual to provide any form of identification as a condition of obtaining an absentee ballot. The bill vastly expands ballot harvesting. It says that a voter can designate any person to return a voted and sealed absentee ballot to the post office, a ballot drop-off location, tribally designated building, or election office. There's much more in the bill, but you can see just from these few examples that this isn't election reform. It's a prescription for more problems in the next election. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you hear on Viewpoints by visiting pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
Building a biblical worldview. This is Ken Ham, author of the brand new book on parenting entitled, Will They Stand? Dad and Mum, the world is out to get your kids. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we often believe that things like the school system or children's entertainment are merely neutral, but they aren't. The Bible says you're either for Christ or against him. Everyone has a worldview, and by and large, schools and entertainment are driven by a secular worldview. The idea of neutrality, well, it's a myth. If you're a believer, you want your children to build a biblical worldview, to think according to God's word. It's the only way they can stand strong in the midst of the raging hurricane of moral relativism that's raging around us.
Ready to equip your family to think biblically? Find thousands of free resources at AnswersRadio.com. The whole family will love all the Bible-upholding teaching at AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Joe Biden campaigned as the champion of unions. How's that working? Who's being hit the hardest by rising unemployment under Biden? We were told that once Trump was gone, all would be well with Antifa and BLM. How's that working? Rand Paul tells us whom we should be impeaching and how Trump should handle his impeachment. That and more next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Speaking of football, I'm sure you all know that the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm pretty sure it's the Kansas City Chiefs, let me double check that, but the Kansas City Chiefs, I think they're the ones with the tomahawk symbol. And, you know, where they do the tomahawk as sort of a victory kind of thing. And they are now talking about doing away with that because that is disrespectful to Native Americans. Now, here again, see, political correctness and leftist politics have just taken over professional sports. It's sad. You don't name a team after something you disrespect. I mean, are there any of these people who get that? I never even hear that acknowledged, that you don't name a team after something you disrespect. And they're not trying to come up with symbols that would induce or encourage defeat, but things that they believe encourage and strengthen the team for victory. And the tomahawk, of course, was a weapon that the Indians used, and there is respect for their warrior spirit, for their strength, for their fortitude. I think Americans have come to admire that. And that's why teams and other things have been named after Indian tribes or Native American tribes, out of a sense of respect and honor that they were a worthy foe. I think most Americans would agree that Native Americans were in some way mistreated. I don't have any problem with that. I think that's absolutely true. The only thing I add is, let's not pretend that the Europeans who came to this country and others who came to this country were monsters, and the Native Americans were just pristine aboriginals who just lived off the land, lived in peace with one another, never fought, never did anything wrong. And these Europeans just came and just destroyed the wonderful, idyllic life they were living. I mean, that's hogwash, folks. Because Native American tribes were fighting and killing each other and enslaving each other, they weren't. They're no different than others in terms of being plagued by the human condition of sin. That's the problem I have. This fantasy that's created that the Europeans were monsters and the Native Americans just such sweet, loving, caring, kind people. Please, look, we don't hear much about it. People don't write much about it because it doesn't fit the leftist narrative. But Native Americans committed some horrible atrocities against settlers, horrible atrocities, killed women and children. And that's not justifying anything that the European settlers did, the British settlers did, and others who came. It's not justifying anything. But what all I'm pointing out is that's the human condition. It's not the condition of Europeans who came to America. It's the human condition. But at any rate, yeah, these teams have Native American names because the people who named the teams have admiration for the strength, the courage, the fortitude, the resilience of the Native American tribes in this country. That's what that's all about. But no, it's disrespectful to even use the name. Well, I got curious about it because I thought about a couple of states, of course, that have Native American names. And I got to thinking about that, thinking, wow, you know what? Yeah, we do have some states with Native American names. What are they going to do about that? And then it hit me. Wait a minute. How many states do we have with Native American names? Folks, get ready for the revolution. Because if we're going to follow this to its logical conclusion, we've got to change the names of 26 states in the country. 26. That's right. Out of the 50 states in America, a majority of them have Native American names. I had no idea it was that many, but it is. Well, particularly if you count Mexico, if you delete Mexico, Mexico is kind of Native American, but some people might dispute that because, of course, it's the name of a country. But I think you could include it. But either way, so call it 25, half. What are they? Alabama, named after the Alabamu tribe. Alaska, named after the Alakshak tribe. Arizona. The Native American tribe is uncertain, but the name means small springs. Connecticut. And I won't even try to pronounce the Native American name of that, but it was, the name means the Long Tidal River. Hawaii or Hawaiki, which was the name of the Polynesians or their homeland. Idaho, which is Comanche, Idahi, which means something like a good morning or fine morning. Illinois, from the Illiniwek, and that word means men. Got to change that one on two counts. A, that it's a Native American name, and B, that it means men. And, you know, we can't have something named by men. So we might have to work with that one, too. Iowa, after, of course, the Iowa Indians. Kansas, after the Kansa Indians. Kentucky, or Kentucky, which is what the Indians call that land. It means meadowlands or the land of turkeys and so forth. It's got a number of different permutations. Massachusetts, meaning above the about the big hill. Michigan, after the Michigamma, meaning large lake. Minnesota is from the Dakota Indian word Minnesota, meaning white water. Mississippi, from the Choctaw, meaning great water or father of waters. Missouri, meaning the town of large canoes. Nebraska, from the Otto Indian word, meaning flat water. Of course, New Mexico, here again, that might be another one that's questionable. But one source claims it's derived from the Mertili, from the name Mertili, which was an Aztec god, so it's from the Aztecs. Ohio, the Iroquois word, meaning beautiful. Oklahoma, the Choctaw word, also meaning red people. And then you got North and South Dakota. Of course, it used to be the Dakota Territory, from the Indian word Dakota, which means friends or allies. Tejas, or Texas, which is a Cato Indian word, which means allies. Utah, from the Ute Indians' words, the word Utah, means people who live high in the mountains. Wisconsin, from Wisconsin, meaning place of the beaver. Wyoming, on the Great Plain. So, folks, we better get ready to change the names of half the states in the country, because those names are an insult. Of course, they're offensive. They're cultural appropriation. They're disrespectful to Native Americans. You see where the logic of this stuff goes? And just how silly it is at best and how insidious it is at worst. Because it really was, I'm convinced of this, folks. All of this stuff is intended to delegitimize the United States of America, to say we are not a legitimate country. We are not a country that is worthy of continuing as we've been. I think that's what the bottom line is. Because we are racist, we are sexist, we destroyed the Native Americans, we enslaved blacks, we denied women the right to vote, and on and on and on and on it goes. As if America is to be compared to some iconic nation out there somewhere in the world that just absolutely puts us to shame because they've just been so perfect throughout their history. Why couldn't America been like them? There's only one problem. No such nation exists. And in fact, what the world actually does is compare itself to America, because in spite of our shortcomings, because we're human beings, in spite of our shortcomings, we are head and shoulders above every other nation in the world in terms of providing freedom and opportunity and prosperity and a high standard of living to our non-wealthy citizens. In other words, those who have not inherited wealth. We don't have royalty, so there are no royals that are taken care of by dint of their ancestry, that they are, you know, the Windsor. We have no Windsor family here, although we have some families who might think they're kind of royalty, but that's their delusion. But that's what this is all about. It's all about delegitimizing the country so that it can be remade or fundamentally transformed into something else. I'm going to hit a couple of other issues when we come back, and then I want to get right into your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. Again, that's 888-589-8840. Stand by.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Paul had these words for us in his second letter to the Christians at Corinth. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Ah, freedom. Millions are in search of it. They want what our Constitution guarantees them. Freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of the press. And they're taking these rights of theirs, these freedoms, for they are tired of being enslaved by the society around them. Have we ever thought about this word freedom? Have we ever thought it through? Do we know what we mean by it? How does one give an explanation of freedom? Just what does it mean to be free? Our world is full of people now who have, they think, found the definition of the word. Tired of all the old restraints and restrictions, they're exercising their freedom. They fill the stands full of pornography and smut because they have the freedom of the press, a right guaranteed them by the Constitution. They're on the warpath to get any mention of a higher power out of our official society because the freedom of religion guarantees them this right. And a list could go on and on. People who are exercising their rights to get away from the old restraints and restrictions to gain freedom. Nearly 2,000 years ago, a lowly Nazarene told a story about people like these modern-day searchers for freedom. This Nazarene said there was a young man who came to his father, demanded his share of the estate while he was young enough to enjoy it. The father gave in to his wish, for the boy had the right to the money. Soon the young man had packed his bags and headed for another country. He was tired of all the old restraints and restrictions of his society. He was tired of people telling him that he couldn't do what he had the right to do. What he wanted was freedom. And as he walked down that dusty road away from the father, he felt this freedom in his soul. He was free at last, free to do as he pleased. There was no longer anyone to cram any religious doctrine down his throat. Finally, he found what he had searched for all of his life, freedom. But the carpenter didn't end the story there, you remember. He said that before long the young man's money was gone, and with it went his freedom. He had to go to work to give up his freedom in order to survive. The best job he could get was feeding the pigs. Finally, amid all the filth, the young man came to his senses. He got up and went home to seek his father's permission to work as one of the hired hands on the family farm. He was willing to take the lowest place in his old slavery rather than the highest position in his new freedom. Well, what is freedom? Never make the mistake of thinking that freedom is a matter of rights. It isn't. It is a matter of right. And no man can become free until he has become a slave to something higher and greater than himself. Freedom? Somehow I have an idea that those who are crying out the loudest for the freedom to do as they please will one day come to themselves. For the more they get of what they want, the less they will want of what they get. Make us captives, Lord, and then we shall be free.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Two things that I want to start taking your calls. You know, I wrote an article entitled, Totalitarian Culture. And that article can be found on the stand at AFA.net, American Family Association's website, AFA.net. You can find it there. We're going to post it also on our various Facebook and other social media that we're using and on our website as well so that you can read it. I said that to as an entree to this article that talks about, and I'm sure you've heard about this, this article written by this columnist for the LA Times, who had snow overrunning her driveway and had some next door neighbors who were Trump supporters who cleaned out her driveway, and she commends them for what a great job they did. They did a very, very good job and made it safe for her to get in and out of her house. They never came to her. They never asked for any thanks. They never asked for anything in return. And she wrote an article about it in which she likened them to Hezbollah and the mafia. instead of expressing gratitude for what they'd done for her, she instead likened them to the mafia and Hezbollah and terrorists who do good things for people to try to buy them. Now, this is what we've come to in our country. Neighbors can't just do something for each other because they're neighbors, at least not in the minds of these leftists. Oh, no. There's a hidden agenda here. They're trying to buy me off. I don't even know whether they know the woman's politics or not. She certainly knows theirs because I think she said they had signs up and whatnot. She certainly knows theirs. But they could have said, look, we don't know her. We're not going to help her. She's big enough to deal with her own issues. But out of the goodness of their heart, they helped the woman, asked nothing in return. And for that, they got called mafioso and terrorists and Hezbollah. Now, the article I wrote pointed out something that I hope all of you will just read it and see what you think. And it's this. You know, we here at American Family Radio and at the American Family Association, you and me, do you know what? We haven't changed in the last 60 years. I mean, our views on life have not changed. And our views were once mainstream. But now our views are considered far right because the left is defining the terms and the mainstream media is going along with their terms. So we're called right wing. I don't even know what that means, actually. We're Bible-believing Christians, but the way they denigrate and marginalize us is to refer to us as right wing or right wing extremists. But our views on marriage aren't any different than they were 60 years ago. Our views on life aren't any different than they were 60 years ago. I became pro-life after I became a Christian. That was over 40 years ago. My views haven't changed since then. What I'm pointing out is they're the haters. They're the ones who have changed the standards. And now they've decided that the way to deal with the people who are holding steadfast the Judeo-Christian values that made our country great, individual liberty, personal responsibility, free enterprise, decency, treat others as you want to be treated, just basic principles, help your neighbor where you can, don't ask others to do for you what you can do for yourself. I mean, basic ideas that I really think made America the greatest nation on earth. Faith in God, of course, taking care of your family, believing in your freedom and doing what you can to secure it, including many who sacrificed and gave their lives to defend our liberty. But no. The left came along and changed the standards. America's a horrible place of social injustice. And anybody who won't go along with all the things they point out are wrong, anybody who won't agree, you're a bigot, you're a hater, you're a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe, you're whatever phobe they can come up with, did you? They'll just phobe you to death if they could. And this is an example of that. These people just did something for this woman out of the goodness of their heart. They haven't said a thing. They haven't spoken up. And she's going on in the LA Times to denounce them as Hezbollah because they helped clean up her driveway. So folks, that's something neighbors would have done for each other 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. They haven't changed, even though the left has now moved so far left, so extremist, so Marxist, so socialist, so radical, that they now want to condemn a person for being neighborly. Because after all, there's an ulterior motive. Whew. That's where we are, folks. 888-589-8840. Let's come to your calls. Let's go to Christian in Texas. Christian, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Bishop, I just wanted to have a question. My question is this. There seem to be many infiltrators of, Democrats infiltrating the Republican Party. And so we have too many Republicans voting alongside with Democrats, and very seldom do we see Democrats voting alongside with Republicans. So what can be done to any Republican that crossover to side with the Democrats. I know that they say, okay, the state will take note and then not to vote them in again. But after that, what kind of other consequences that can be taken to prevent any Republican crossing over to Democrats to vote with them?
Christian, thank you so much for the call. Thank you for listening. It's a hard question to answer, Christian, because remember, politicians tend to be a little club that looks out for themselves. And that happens in the Republican Party as well. We saw that they did not punish Liz Cheney. And though in my view, Liz Cheney and every Republican who voted for impeachment should have been punished because you broke party loyalty when you did that. And I just see no basis for it whatsoever. President Trump did not incite violence. He did not say go up there and storm the Capitol. He did not say go in there and break through the doors. He said peacefully and patriotically. Case closed. Peacefully and patriotically. What more can you say? And so they should have been punished. I think it does come down to the grassroots, not only voting these folks out, but going to their meetings and expressing one's anger, again, peacefully and patriotically, expressing one's anger and saying, look, we feel you betrayed us. We feel that you did the wrong thing. And we want you to know how vehemently opposed to you we are now because we don't believe that we can trust you. Because when the chips are down, you will go with the Democrats. So I think aside from those two things, there's nothing else we can do. Of course, as always, other than pray that these folks get voted out, but then we've got to put boots to the prayer and go into the voting booth and vote these folks out of office. That, to me, is the ultimate punishment. Thank you for the call, Christian. Let's go to Rebecca in Arkansas. Rebecca, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Bishop. Hey, I knew you would want to know that Arkansas, that state you skipped talking about the Indians, unless I just missed it.
Oh, maybe Arkansas, I skipped that one. That's right. I don't remember that being listed. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The Arkansas Indians, A-R-K-A-N-S-A. And I don't know why we put an S on the end of Arkansas. I don't get it. But anyway.
Is Arkansas going to change? Should Arkansas now change the name of the state? I mean.
No way. No way. Hey, I wish all our representatives could be like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia. I am so proud of her.
Oh, that speech
Isn't she wonderful?
Gave, Rebecca, that speech she gave was powerful. Now, here again, I did not follow what she was involved in or the things that she said because she apologized for it, expressed her regret. So to me, that's a dead letter. But I'll tell you what, that speech she gave, oh my goodness, that was on the money. And she put those reporters in their place, and she made clear that she's going to be standing up and fighting for the American people and the principles of our Constitution. And I was proud of her too. I really was. I was very, very proud of her. And you know, even if she made a mistake or two, my goodness gracious, give the woman a chance. Back in a moment.
Come on, man.
It's a no-brainer. Men go to the men's restrooms and women go to the women's. But that's not how President Biden sees it. He issued an executive order allowing men to go into women's restrooms, effectively putting women and children in danger. This order includes any public high school and university that receives federal funding.
Come on, man.
Act now. Send an email to President Biden and tell him, come on, man, protect our women and children from predators. Just go to AFA.net. AFA.net.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years and lived as a man. When Laura came home, we were all ecstatic. And so I just woke up one night and it just kind of laid on my heart. We need to start a specific basket with names of prodigals in it that we will pray over.
Learn more or submit a prayer request at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
Because we all have someone.
Byron Paulus with Life Action Ministries and the founder of One Cry.
Right now, the iron is hot, the desperation is growing, and people everywhere are talking about the potential of revival and spiritual awakening. I know of no better time than to inject in the middle of that what has been the longest running continuous revival conference in North America. It's called the Heart Cry for Revival Conference. It'll be integrated with the Collegiate Day of Prayer, a powerful time with speakers that we have carefully selected to help lead us into an understanding of the ways of God right now in the midst of all that He is doing.
The Heart Cry for Revival Conference is February 24th through the 26th. This year's conference is available exclusively online. Register for free at heartcryforrevival.org. While you're there, check out the list of speakers and workshop leaders.
I look forward to seeing you end of February, Heart Cry for Revival Conference.
I was doing life with my boys, and it was a beautiful, sunny spring day.
Wendy speak on Focus on the Family Minute.
And they start going crazy outside. Mom, Mom, come here, you gotta see this. And there was this migration of butterflies unlike anything I had ever seen, hundreds of thousands. And I thought, I gotta grab my phone. I mean, I gotta start a Facebook Live, right? And I start going down the hall and I thought, what am I doing? I don't want to be so distracted grabbing the phone that I'm missing the moment. And so I went out there and the kids are climbing out of the pool and they're wrapping their cold arms around my waist and we're counting out loud. And my oldest son, he yelled, good job, God. So we were having this moment, eyes on each other. If I had my phone there and I was taking pictures of them and doing a Facebook Live, would I have missed the miracle?
Don't let your phone distract you from those beautiful moments in front of you. More from Wendy at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
So Arkansas added would make it 27. So we've got a big job to do if we're going to get rid of all references to Native Americans in our culture because it's all offensive and it's all cultural appropriation and all of that. This stuff has got to stop. And the sad thing is we've got to somehow convince these corporate people, these colleges and universities, the entertainment culture, I don't know what it's going to take to get to them. But certainly the journalists and the media, We've got to get people who have their heads on straight to begin to see that this stuff of denigrating everything about our country is a formula for disaster in the future. It portends nothing good for the future of this nation. So that's now 27. So we're going to change the Atlanta Braves. If you're going to change a sports franchise's name, don't you have to change a state, a whole state named after either a Native American tribe or from a word from a Native American language? Yeah, well, see, I wouldn't change any of it. I mean, frankly, I wouldn't. Because to me, it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to instruct. It's an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to bring us together. If we reflect on where we are, where we've been, where we are, where we're going, and to bring every American into it rather than slicing and dividing and doing everything possible to keep us at each other's throats. Well, we're not buying into it. So they can, you know, they're going to ultimately self-destruct because, as you see, they've now got the feminists and the transgenders fighting each other over women's sports. Because, you see, the lies and falsehoods simply cannot last. They collapse in on themselves. Okay, let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Mary in Texas. Mary, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. That social justice attitude's been on my mind. I graduated in 65, and way back then they had quotas a company had to meet, so many colored people hired, and we still have affirmative action today. And I thought, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, everyone's been privileged. You think of all the people who receive food stamps, AFDC, who receive Medicare, Medicaid. We live in a country of privilege. It doesn't matter what walk of life or the color of your skin. What I call social justice would be a justice system that would make all these politicians who pass the budgets without a balanced budget pay the debt of the American people. If they can give more money to foreign countries than they can their own people, they should pay for it themselves. That's my comment, and thank you for taking my call.
Well, Mary, thank you very much for the comment. I appreciate that. And for those of you who heard Mary use the phrase colored, I know there are some people who are offended by that. I don't know the difference between that and people of color, because the fact of the matter is all people, as you all have heard me say before, all people have color. There's no such thing as people of color and people without color. But I know she's referring to people of African ancestry in the past who, you know, were doing various things to try to change the demographics of businesses and all of this with quotas, which was really the wrong way to do it. The way to do it is you open up the gates of opportunity. You take all the restrictions and the restraints off, is what we're trying to do as a nation, and then you turn people loose and say, now go at it. Go for it. And that's how people make progress. They don't make progress. You can't earn respect by having somebody give you something. Here, we're going to give you this because you're a poor little handicapped, disadvantaged person. So here you go. We're going to give you a higher test score. We're going to give you a position that you might not have earned, but that's okay because after all, your ancestors were discriminated against and you may have some disadvantages. So we're just going to give this to you. Well, you may give a person a position. You may give them some sort of accoutrement of professional life. You might give them a title, but you can't give them respect. Respect is earned, not given, earned. Thank you for the call, Mary. Let's go to Chuck in North Carolina. Chuck, welcome.
Yes, sir. Bishop, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Chuck, how are you?
Man, I thank God for you and your show. I'd like to express a frustration, and then I'll let you talk, over the fact that the overwhelming evidence that what happened on the 6th at the Capitol was obviously planned and executed by the left to accomplish the following for their evil cause: falsely demonize Trump, falsely demonize Trump supporters, and stop the case against the fraudulent election. And now they're using it to legitimize everything that they're doing against us to eventually try to, treat us as terrorists, take away our guns. What frustrates me is I do not hear even Christian conservative personalities say this. What they say is to me, it's playing along with the left script and saying, oh, it was just a small group. Most of the people weren't there for that. Or look at what happened in the blue cities and states. Or are we really surprised that this happened? No, it was Antifa. Okay, Bishop, I'll let you talk. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, Chuck, I appreciate the call. I think the problem that we have, Chuck, is presumably the FBI is investigating this. We've heard of one leftist agitator who was clearly there and clearly involved and was egging stuff on. I have not heard of evidence of other leftist involvement. That doesn't mean there isn't. I just haven't heard the evidence of it. Either way, I think we can safely say that there were some Trump supporters who got caught up in it one way or the other, got caught up in it. Whether that was their intention, here again is another matter. This stuff has got to be adjudicated. But so I'm not quite sure I'm with you on that. But I'll tell you what, where we are 100% in agreement, the left is using this for all they can suck from it. I mean, they are just, oh my goodness gracious, they are milking it dry, and using it to, you're right, label us terrorists. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, the Congress people who want to come with their firearms, they're the enemy within, and it just goes on and on and on and on. So as always, I want evidence of how something got started, just like with the Wuhan virus. I don't have evidence that China actually intentionally started it. I've got suspicions, but no evidence. But what they did after it, there's simply no doubt. There's no question. So you're right. I mean, they are milking it for all it's worth. And I hope you're right. I hope that the evidence will ultimately come out that will show that it was, in fact, leftists who engineered this whole thing and were behind it and led the way in. Because I just don't want to think that people who supported President Trump as much as he expressed love for this country and stood for law and order and respect for law enforcement, would do what was done at the Capitol. Because here again, that's why it's hard for me to believe it, because it is completely out of character for the way they have behaved themselves. I can put myself among them, the way we have behaved ourselves up until now. It's always been peaceful. It's been patriotic, just as he described, peaceful and patriotic. But thank you for the call. And I hope, Chuck, that evidence presents itself that will allow what you've just suggested to be proven the case. Let's go to Alex in Alabama. Alex, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Just letting you know, I heard what you said about policing last week. I've been a police officer for 8 years, so I appreciate what you said.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex, and thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Enjoy the show. I try to listen to it every day, but obviously the schedule gets in the way sometimes. Love to email back and forth with you if that's possible sometimes, but like I said, thanks for the words.
Well, thank you, Alex. Anybody, Alex, you want to email me, anybody who wants to email me can email me at ewj@standamerica.us. Very simple. ewj@standamerica.us. Anything else on you?
Again.
All right. Thank you, Alex, man. Be safe out there. God bless you. Okay. Let's go to Rob in Texas. Rob, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. Thanks, Bishop. Love your show. Try to listen to you every day. Say, I totally agree with you. This mascot stuff is getting crazy. I'm American. My ancestors are from Ireland. I'm American. I'm Catholic. And my liberal friends ask me if the mascot for Notre Dame offends me. It's a little redheaded leprechaun with his fist right up wearing a green jacket, and they call him the Fighting Irish. And I look at these people, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How would that offend me?
Wow. Yeah. See.
And they ask me, do you think Notre Dame should change their mascot, the Fighting Irish with the little leprechaun? I said, absolutely not.
Or the Boston Celtics. Should the Boston Celtics, Celtic, should they? Yeah.
Exactly. It's gone way too far.
Yeah. Rob, the very thing that is the strength of our country, which is we come from all over the world and we celebrate with each other. I mean, who doesn't celebrate St. Patrick's Day in one way or another, or wear a little green? Doesn't matter where you came from. It's part of Americana now. I mean, I think that's what's part of what's so unique about this country. And instead of celebrating that, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't say that. You can't use that. You can't. That's cultural appropriation. That's offensive. I mean, these people are going to, you know what, they're going to bust a blood vessel with all the crazy stuff that they're putting on themselves and with their hyper superior moral sensitivity. You know, the rest of us are just... We're too much Neanderthals to understand their higher level of moral sensibility. See, but you're right. It is ridiculous, folks. That's going to do it. I wish I could get to every call that's waiting, but God bless each and every one of you for calling in. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow, and we'll try to get started with the call as early as we can, because I love talking to you all and hearing from you, because you got great things to say. I want to give another shout out to our law enforcement. Thank you so much for the service that you guys, you men and women, provide for us all. And while I don't care what BLM says, we love and pray for our police officers, and we trust you with our lives because you have taken an oath to help serve and protect us. That's going to do it for today, folks. Don't get discouraged, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.